Do better.
Be better.
Welcome back to the Spitball Podcast Take 5. This is where we chat inbound marketing as a methodology, digital marketing, sales and services, and talk all things HubSpot and Spitfire related. My name is Muzo.
And I'm Shaz, and we are your hosts for Take 5.
We are coming down from the high that was inbound 21 last week that went from the 12th to the 14th October.
In our previous episode, we spoke to our head of onboarding, Sharan Sugarman, on what to expect from inbound. And boy, was she right by saying have lots of snacks and energy drinks, but also in her suggestions to fully immerse yourself and not get distracted during the sessions, because inbound had a ton of knowledge bombs that you didn't want to miss.
So we've got two of our Spitfire colleagues with us today to round up on inbound 21 and hear their key takeaways from this year's virtual event.
Our inbound success associate, Neil, studied public relations and worked in the ICT sector as a communications and PR intern. She has always had a love for marketing and was joined to the way inbound marketing is different and how it solves the really big problems that brands have had for many years.
Lauren has been in the Spitfire inbound marketing team since 2019 and is our social media and digital content manager. With a strong agency background and a qualification in digital marketing, she specializes in social media with a core focus on content and strategy.
To wrap up the interview, our strategic director, Alison Leishman, left us with a sneaky soundbite on her thoughts on Inbound 21. And after going to both the online inbound events and the actual ones in Boston, we're very excited to hear what she has to say. But without further ado, now that the introductions are done, let's talk about Inbound 21. Okie dokie. So we have Neil and Lauren with us. We have just given a whole introduction about how amazing you are. HubSpot's annual inbound absolutely blew us away. We're going to be rounding up Inbound 21 with our key takeaways and actionable insights and strategies from this year's virtual event. So welcome, Lauren and Neil.
Welcome, Lauren. Thanks, Mozo.
Thank you so much for being with us today. Obviously, we're chatting about inbound. Yeah. Can't believe it was last week and it's all over now already.
There is a lot actually to chat about this time around. So I just invited you guys here to come have a chat with us about what you guys thought about inbound and just some of the things that you're expecting that actually came up this time around.
So I'm gonna start with Lauren because I was following Lauren on Twitter. If I was missing out on anything from inbound, I would just go on to Twitter and I'd be like, oh, okay, cool, this is what's going on. So Lauren, just a quick highlight of your keynote speakers or your favorite speakers from the weekend and what topics they spoke about. If you could summarize who your favorite was or what your favorite was from the weekend.
Absolutely. First and foremost, it definitely has to be the HubSpot spotlights. So they do have that every year. This year it was Yamini Rangan, Damesh Shaw and Brian Halligan. It was so inspiring because they really spoke about, obviously, you know, it's second year of pandemic and COVID. And last year it was all about, you know, pivoting to online and pivoting in response to COVID. And this year it was more about, overcoming sort of personal obstacles for all three of them. And it was quite motivational. And what I really liked was Damesh went quite deep into basically the future of inbound. And what I really liked what he said about putting the customer back into CRM. So the customer goes into C, and really just with a very strong focus on the customer and how we can better serve our customers, as well as obviously the latest product updates. So there's some cool things coming up. But that was really, I think, the standout spotlight for me. And then another one that I really enjoyed was Hasan Minhaj. So I've been a fan of his for a while. His session was called Finding Your Inner Voice. And it was more of an one-on-one interview where he was just talking. But I really, I was so motivated, and I've got so much respect for him. Just what he was saying around, you know, companies and brands need to, like, don't just say you're authentic, like actually be authentic. And people are, you know, people aren't blind to that. People can quite easily pick up if your brand is, if it's just lip service, or if it's, you actually believe and practice what you, you know, what you put out there. Yeah. So those are my standouts.
100%.
Keynote speakers.
You know what I found so interesting about it was that the famous spotlight speakers were kind of, when we were talking about it previously, were, they're amazing and they're super inspirational, but obviously they are in a different kind of industry, and they kind of just there to share knowledge and wisdom that broadly would apply to inbounders. But I didn't feel that way at all with either of them this year. I feel like they all, I don't know if they thought about it or if that was just how well they were chosen. But I feel like they all ended up relating it to business and marketing so well. Oprah and Spike Lee as well. So I agree.
Yes, yeah.
Apart from the very in-depth and specific chats for our industry, those ones are really lovely and then could apply to life and business, which I found really interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look, they're all great, but yeah, those personally, those were the ones that stood out for me.
Yes. And you, Neil?
Gosh. Lauren actually mentioned one of the ones that I was going to mention, the HubSpot Spotlight with Damish, and how he spoke about customer centricity and how it's very important to put the customer at the center of everything that we do. And just the way that he made like examples when he used the underpants gnomes effect that he got from South Park. That was so cool. just basically putting you know, everything into perspective for us, and like, and how we would need to you know, go forward regarding the CRM, and just being able to you know, maintain our customers and clients, and how to use the CRM in a way that is effective, you know, obviously, you know, like the flywheel and all of that, and just really emphasizing everything about it. And so that was like one of the ones that stood out for me. And I also, because I'm an inbound success associate, so I was really looking for a lot of sessions regarding customer success, or anything regarding you know, how to you know, deal with customers and clients. And you know, one that stood out to me was a session called, I think it was called Sitting at the Same Side of the Table. I think she's a customer success manager, or if I'm wrong, I'm not so sure, for HubSpot. And she was explaining how to deal with customers that are frustrated, and how it's important to have emotional intelligence and empathy, so that you can like put yourself in their shoes. And like, it just makes me realize, you know, if I'm speaking to like a client, or if, you know, you are dealing with somebody who's probably frustrated at, you know, something that's happening on HubSpot, you know, just put yourself in their shoes and think about how you would feel if you needed that help and what you would want to receive. So a lot of that, as well as Oprah, was big for me. And yeah. I think I'll watch that every single time I get the chance, because she really spoke a lot about what we all face. And, you know, yeah, just, I think those were like my standout, and yeah, pretty big takeaways for me.
And definitely not me watching Oprah like 3 or 4 times already since I aired on Thursday.
I'm not judging you. I'm not judging you.
Every time I come, I write more notes, and I'm just like, how is there so much wisdom in one human?
I know.
But also, Neil, everything that you said, right, and everything that you learned, or not learned, that was reinforced. I said it in one of our focus meetings. So at Spitfire Inbound, we meet on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Hop Plus 8, and we just kind of get together and speak to each other about what our wins for the week or for the day were, and our focus. And I said, like, that's all the inbound methodology. Wild. Like, all of the stuff that we were learning at Inbound was reinforcing what we learn while we're working with this inbound methodology of way of doing things. And for it to come out as empathetic and human over and over and over again, I'm so happy that we're all doing this together, because it's a good way of doing marketing in the world, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
What I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I hope that makes sense.
I think also for me, like, my highlight, I would say, guys, was Dimashq. That talk that he gave, and I liked how he gave us like a background of CRM and how he sees CRM as not just customer relationship management, but customer relationship magic. Yeah. So meaning putting the customer first, making sure that whatever you do, you make sure that the customer is delighted. And I think that's what HubSpot always emphasizes, that, you know what, let's do away with the funnel and let's actually have a flywheel, basically, where we could actually have this process be repeating over and over again to make sure that the customer is delighted. And, you know, the whole thing of customer centricity, like, makes sure that we put the customer first, and we always make sure that they are satisfied with what we do, so that at the end of the day they can be able to refer us to other people and make sure that our business also grows and they're also happy as well. So I think for me that was also like a very interesting thought, and like you said, Shares, like re-emphasizing what we've already been learning and what we're also doing as well.
Definitely, yeah. And also, being a first-time inbounder and you in the world of inbound, it was just a reinforcing. And I'm really excited about the updates that are coming, Lauren. Yeah. What would you say? I mean, you can't really say there's a favorite because they're all going to be amazing and help it forward.
Yeah.
But what would you say one of your favorite upcoming updates will be? Dimashq also spoke in his chat about Web 1, Web 2, and Web 3, and that was a revolution that's kind of going to be coming and not really happening just yet, but it's on its way, and I feel like the updates really have spoken into preparing for that.
Absolutely. You know, there are a number of updates and cool things sort of in beta testing and that are coming up. I would highly recommend for everyone listening to this, our strategic director, Alison Leishman, she actually wrote and published a fantastic blog article on the latest updates to come out of Inbound. So I would definitely encourage you to go check that out. I'm sure Shaz and Mota will put that link in the show notes. And she lists all of the updates. But the one I'm excited about is the sandboxes, which is live. And this is a really cool update that just allows, it's more of a safe place for users to test changes without kind of permanently changing data or interacting with customers. So you can sort of do what you need to do, test it out before going live. And it's really a tool that will help build help build the team's confidence within HubSpot. So I would definitely say that that's a big one. So go check out the article and go check out specifically sandboxes. If you do work in the HubSpot portal, it's definitely going to be a game changer.
I remember seeing in the comments people thinking, what is a sandbox? Where can we play? yes, we can play. We can play safely, but not right now. Everybody calm. <Yeah. laughs> And for you, Neil, was there any kind of concept or update specifically HubSpot or just from a speaker in general that you thought, maybe I already do that, or I don't do enough of that, or I don't do that at all, and I'm really excited to implement that in in my work.
Yeah, gosh. So I watched one on emails, and it's literally what I do quite a lot. And I mean, as an inbound implementer, that's definitely, you know, one of the core things that we work on is emails. And he spoke about a lot of things. So he's like a, I think he works at subject line or subject.
World Data. It's Jay Schredelson.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, no, he was incredible.
That was, again, I think I watched that more than once, but he told us a lot about what, you know, works for subject lines and all of that. And definitely we'll implement. One of them is like putting oops in your subject line. And to be honest, I would open that. So it increases open rates and will increase engagement. You know, so just things like that, I think, is definitely like something that was like, I don't do enough of this. Let me go and work on that. And it's very exciting to actually like implement that going forward. And I know that it will drive results. I'm very
absolutely
sure.
just to jump in here now. I watched him last year. So this is the second year that I've attended Inbound. And I watched him last year. And what I love about his sessions is that he's got so much energy, but that he also kind of tells you the email trends for right now. Yeah. So it might not have worked in the past, and it might not work in like 3 months' time, but right now there are some actionable. So he takes the data, and there are actionable tips that you can use right now. And the one thing that stood out for me was using bookend emojis in your email subject line. So that's putting an emoji first, and then having your email subject line, and then putting another emoji at the end. And that increases your email rate by, I can't remember what the percentage is now, I'll have to go back and check, but it was like over 30%, like almost 40%. Just by using bookend emojis in your subject line, which is so cool. And it's something so easy, and it really makes your brand stand out because competitors aren't doing that right now.
Yes. No, there was also, I was surprised by how many things people try. I mean, I've never seen it. I've seen it, but we've never tried it before. And we know it's a no-no, but like kind of myths, and especially within the email sphere. And I'm assuming that's probably something that people used to be able to do like 3-4 years ago. And now it's just like, stop, don't do that anymore. And he was super open on those things. He was just like, don't do this. And I was like, and I would have never even thought about it like that.
Yeah, and using comparisons in your email subject line as well.
Yeah.
That also helps with open rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were. For me, I watched a debate with the B2B Institute, the LinkedIn guys, John Lombardo, and I think Peter Weinberg or something. But guys, it was like late. So for inbound for us in South Africa, it would start around 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon and end around 12, 1 o'clock in the evening. And this was kind of one of the last debates, I think, on the Tuesday evening. And they spoke about kind of contrarian marketing versus conventional. So brands versus clicks, you know. And it was so funny because they work for the same place and you can see that in their titles. But they were going for the debate. Like, I honestly at some point thought that they hated each other a little bit. I was like, this is so spicy. Oh my goodness, we're getting into it. And then by the end of it, they, you know, calmed down, and then you it's a plot twist. You get that they were in on it the whole time, although I can be gullible as a human. So we might just put it down to that. But it was kind of like there's never better. Or worse, there's nothing that works 100% without the other. You know, it always has to do with the customer. It always has to do with the intention behind what you're marketing. And it's, you know, specific type of marketers will always say that their specific niche is better, but it's not. Everything works together, and it depends on what the goal is, and it depends on what you're trying to achieve. And if one type of marketing gets you there better, then obviously that's amazing, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the best type of marketing. It's just the best type for what you're trying to do.
And for your clients.
And it goes right back to putting the customer first again. And then it even goes back to Oprah's chat. I mean, this is what I was saying with the keynote speakers wildly managing to use their life stories and its business, but with intentions. Literally the next day in a meeting with the clients, Louisa used the word, she was like, it needs a strategic intention. And I was like, I know for a fact Louisa wasn't watching Oprah last night, because and like that's the way that we work, you know. So I thought that was really nice.
I also enjoyed a talk about SEO, the killer SEO strategies, through product design methodology by Tony Vera. And I liked what he said about Google never lying. And that simply ties in back to intention, you know, because of many times when we do, obviously in the past, we think that SEO will have to just stuff a lot of keywords to make sure that Google picks it up. But due to the updates that Google has done to the algorithm, it does not actually work that way anymore. It actually prioritizes the intent behind the blog or the website page. So I think that whole mindset of intention really, really resonates a lot to this. And also I like what he said, that every time you do write anything basically on a website, you always need to remember about the expertise, the authority, and the trust, which is the acronym would be EAT. So that in mind actually can help someone who's actually building a landing page or a web page or a blog to always remember the intent. Like, what is the intent behind that blog page? What are you actually trying to help the customer solve? So I think with that, like, it just like connects everything, like with what Oprah said and what those tips that Tony was giving us, like it just connects everything together, and it makes it so purposeful. And it helps you as well when you're building out to always remember that you want to help the customer to solve a problem, not so that they can come to your website and click a couple of pages, but to always remember that there's always has to be an intention behind what you write. So I found that to be very, very interesting, basically.
That was a cool session. I watched that one as well.
And
in terms of no one lies to Google, I mean, that's such a great point and quote to remember. So, I mean, also it's also about using the data. So use the data to tailor for your customers' needs. You know, there's no guesswork. You know, Google gives you the data, which is amazing. Which is super cool. And then something that really stood out for me, and I have this on my top five key takeaways list, and this plugs into everything we've been saying now, is that the fundamentals of inbound marketing, so the inbound marketing methodology, the fundamentals stay the same, right? It's all about finding the right combination of strategy, tools, trends, that will work for your client and for your project. And it's just about finding new ways of using those applications to achieve the goals of your clients.
Yes. I wanted to start kicking because it was like poetry. Exactly that. Okay, so we've obviously kind of on this high off of inbound. I said earlier, I felt like inbound was like the Olympics. The conference, like the Olympics of the inbound marketing world. And now, you know, after the Olympics or after some kind of event, you just feel very excited and kind of rejuvenated to go in and practice all of those things. But we're going to be those guys for a second and ask what you think inbound could do better next time. It's the second time that they have been an online event, obviously the first time being due to COVID. I know the platform was really, really cool and quite easy to use, but if you had to say anything that they could do better next time, what would your opinion be on that?
I have only one thing, right? The platform was fantastic. You know, it was really robust. They had new features this year. So for example, they had like a networking tab where you could network with other members of the audience and attendees. You could check out the sponsors. You can download like content from the sponsors. All of that was fantastic. The one thing that I would say is that I would love to see is if they had an option to basically share quotes or share to social and have the speaker handles within the agenda or the platform, because that's, you know, as you're listening, you know, you're busy like tweeting and you're busy sharing on social, and it would help streamline basically productivity. So you wouldn't have to maybe go and like search for the specific speaker on social. You know, you've got their handle there, cool. You can just like tweet them, or you can share to social. That is my only criticism. I would love to see that next year. Otherwise, you know, they did so well with the platform. You know, they had I think at one stage like over 4,000 users on the platform at one time. So I mean, it really, you know, didn't crash. There weren't many glitches, so they've definitely ironed out a lot of those sort of niggles from last year.
I mean, I don't have much or anything really, because I haven't really attended in the previous years. I would say that my experience this year as a first timer was amazing. I can definitely agree with Lauren, and maybe, you know, like just having the speaker handle so you can tag them so that you can find them on social. That's definitely something that they can implement next year. But besides that, everything was so cool. The way you could interact with people, it's like a community online where you can literally just network. And I mean, I think also because of how they can just be readily available to you on demand to watch at any time. That is definitely one of the best things about this conference this year.
I completely agree now, being a first timer. I think the only thing for me at all was that when you went onto the agenda, it didn't jump to, if you were on day two, to day two, and then kind of the time where you were at, you had to go and find it. A kind of smart content that we could put in and implement, I guess. I don't know. I'm not telling them how to do their jobs at all. I think they were also amazing, amazing responsive via socials when we were tweeting and on Instagram and everything. So I also really enjoyed that part from them. And I would love to go to Boston and experience Inbound there after seeing...
I would too. That must just be such a whole different experience.
Yeah.
Like I was definitely. Just kind of like putting myself there-ish as well with the excitement and adrenaline and conversations we were having. And I just thought to myself, like, it would be so cool running from one chat to the next now and like doing all of the things. So that's definitely an inbound bucket list for me. Okay. So, how are we going to implement what we learned at Inbound into our daily lives, into our work lives?
That's a good question. I think in terms of like practically implementing, you know, some of the tips and strategies that we learned, for me personally, it's all about intent. So I am going to intent and empathy. So I'm going to approach everything that I do with myself, my colleagues and my clients with intent and empathy. And in terms of practical tips, some of the LinkedIn expert sessions I attended, I learned a couple of tips and tricks, which I'm going to play around with, which is great, because you're always learning and always growing. You know, you never stop learning. So I think that's going to be a big one for me in the coming months.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good one, Lauren. Also for me, I would definitely take empathy. And, you know, with the session that spoke about how to speak to customers and everything, just, you know, knowing that your tone matters, you know, I think that if a client or a customer comes to you and they're frustrated or they're very, you know, worried, she spoke about, and, you know, like, it's funny because as somebody who has been in the shoes of a customer calling somewhere and getting really irritated at service or at something, you'd be so frustrated over the phone and then like wonder why the person you're speaking to's tone is so calm and, you know, like, so she mentioned stuff like that, you know, if a client is coming to you with a tone like, I'm not happy with this, and you would just come and be like, what can I help you with? You know, so things like that, I think, yeah, I need to learn that. And it's really, it really makes sense because you don't want to come off frustrated or angry as well, just like the customer.
Yeah.
They're gonna be, they're probably gonna be even more frustrated. So you need to speak in a tone that that tells them that you're gonna fix their problem and that you know what you're doing as well. So that is like a big thing because of how much I'll be like facing customers and stuff. So learning to do that and like just practicing, like in future, I'll just do like a lot of role playing. We have a HubSpot mentorship program here. So we do sit with a couple of the people that work at HubSpot and really cool sessions that we have with them like once a month. And I do a lot of role playing with my mentor and, you know, she puts different scenarios of me speaking to like clients and like how I would respond. So I think that that's like a very big thing to take and implement going forward.
I'm gonna call you up and I'm gonna be a Karen and every single time it's gonna be a thing from now on. Every single time you do it, you're gonna be like,
yeah, no, definitely let's try that.
I love that, Nao, and that just, you know, that goes back to what we were talking about right at the beginning of the interview, is putting the customer back into customer relationship manager.
Definitely.
Well, for me, I would say that intent also is a huge one. You know, like doing the work that we do, like we always have to remember why we're doing it. So I think it's always, it's a good practice, basically, like to take a moment before you do anything to remember why you're doing it so that you know that, okay, like you are actually doing this with an intent. You're not just doing it because of you have to do it, but you're doing it because of there's a reason why behind why you're doing it. So whether it's creating a social post or like preparing a report or anything, basically, even if it's client related work or like having to respond to a client, like having to remember why you're doing it. I think that for me, like it's the biggest takeaway from the entire event, actually.
Definitely. And I mean, that feeds in so well to your purpose as an individual, right? I mean, if you don't have the set intentions, this kind of gray area, it's easy to wake up in the morning and, you know, not want to work or not want to serve your clients in the best way possible. And it's myself and Mortal were up on, I think it was a Thursday night when we were watching Oprah. And we were referring back to our first episode, Take Flight episode that we recorded with Darren, where he spoke about our culture at Spitfire, and then culture in general and how important it is for business. And a lot of what he was saying was that, you know, money isn't everything. Wanting to wake up in the morning and do what you want to do work-wise when it takes up more of your life than anything else is so important because that's what drives you and that's what makes you happy. And that, and if, you know, happy wife, happy life, but like insert employees, yeah. And if our actual work has intention behind it, if our marketing has intention behind it, if everything that we do, we're taking a moment and stepping back and saying, hey, like, why are we doing this? And working with our team members to make sure that that's the right thing to do. That makes me very happy. And that makes me really happy to be working with a team like this and in an industry like this.
I love that, Chaz. It's really cool. It's like, what is your purpose? What is our purpose as individuals, as well as a business, you know?
True.
That's really so cool. I think that's such a key thing to always remember.
Now, insert sub story here.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of, so on that note though, that is how Inbound made me feel. I was mushy. I was inspired. I was really, taught a lot of knowledge bombs were just thrown, and I was like, oh my gosh, amazing. But then also at the same time, able in my brain to already start implementing it, right? Like able to think, oh my gosh, yes, like that would make that much more effective, and that's where I could use this. To close off, inbound was a vibe.
A real one.
Yeah. And we're excited for next year, but I would be excited to, with the four of us closer to inbound next year, have a conversation and kind of suss where we've come from here, and then think about what's going to happen in inbound 2022, which I think they've set the dates for. Have they? Has anybody?
Yeah, I think it'll be in October next year.
Same.
Which is great. Yeah, I mean, it leaves you feeling, you know, as this is my second inbound, you know, the first one I attended, you know, I was just so like stars in eyes. I was so in awe of everything that I learned and all the things you've said, Shaz, like motivated and inspired. And I think this year I had all of those things, but I also love the fact that it is a community. Like HubSpot is a community, and there are like-minded individuals all across the world, you know, globally, who get to come together and get to grow together. And we'll practice the same inbound marketing methodology, and we all have that purpose, which makes the industry a better place and a better place to work in, both for our clients and for ourselves.
Yes. 100%. Love you guys. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Inbound was fun, and it was fun to do it with you all.
Cool. Thank you. Thanks so much for having us on on the show.
Very exciting.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Some of my experiences of inbound in person include meeting fantastic people. Gina Bellerin being one of the first people that I met at inbound. And I think that was back in 2016. And we've maintained our relationship to this day. She's moved country 3 times. We still meet and share ideas and collaborate. So meeting people, networking, really, really key to the in-person inbound event. The scale of it, like when you arrive, no matter, you know, as we've taken different team members and we prepare them and say it's really big, and you go down the escalators and see the absolute scope of it, and you see how many sponsors there are and the vibe and the music and the happy hour drinks, inbound rocks, all of those experiences are like key takeaways. Going in the evening out into Boston and finding fellow inbounders wherever you go and connecting with some of the special events. Those are all in-person inbound experiences that you take with you. In sessions, the first inbound we went to, you couldn't book on the agenda, so that like rushing between sessions, trying to get there in time so you can get into the group, and then abandoning that and going, I'm going to sit in this room because I know no matter who comes, they're going to be good. And some of the best sessions that I've attended inbound are not necessarily the ones that I chose, but the ones I landed up in because I either didn't get into the ones I chose. And some of those have been the most inspirational. And I think that just testifies to the extent and the quality of the speakers and the vetting process that they take the speakers through, because you leave every session learning something. And if you don't learn something, you've met somebody. What we did, something that I did, and then whenever we've gone to inbound, and it's something I actually learned from Gina, was have a question ready that you can use as a Kickstarter to ask the people sitting around you. You don't have to sit there going, how do I make small talk and what do I say? But have a question. So the one question in the 1 year was, what is your biggest marketing challenge? And we actually did a blog post on that. We collected all the answers together and said, you know, from our dipstick test at Inbound, this is what people around the world are saying their marketing challenges. It could be something like, what is the next trend? Or what do you think HubSpot's going to launch next? And that really helped to break the ice and was such a useful and exciting way to meet people and make those connections. So in-person Inbound, absolutely wonderful memories. Meeting the sponsors face to face, I think, is also something that is really great. I hope we go back, but I hope we keep the virtual as well, so more people can attend, as I said earlier.
We have this segment to share the HubSpot updates we've heard about and think you should know about. As mentioned, HubSpot delivered its key annual updates at Inbound 21, so we thought what better to chat about than these. During the HubSpot Spotlight session on Tuesday, CEO Yamini Rangan noted that her favorites, but not limited to updates, were HubSpot Payments, Operations Enterprise, and the Service Hub Customer Portal. HubSpot Payments are for US customers only at the moment and is running in open beta. It'll give you payment links, allowing for recurring payments, as well as native codes and payment integrations. We're excited about the e-commerce value of this and will hopefully soon see it being integrated worldwide. Operations Hub Enterprise will be launching in November. It will be a part of the Enterprise Suite. We're thinking data sets, but we'll have to keep you updated as we learn all the details. And a really exciting update for Service Hub Pro and Enterprise users is the Customer Portal. Here, your customers are able to log into a web page where they can access and reply to support tickets. This keeps the conversation going between customers and support reps with no coding, as it's connected to a share inbox. A crowd favorite update for Spitfire, as Lauren mentioned earlier, are sandboxes. They provide a safe space for users to test changes without permanently changing data or interacting with their customers. It's a huge advantage in building your team's confidence in HubSpot. Next time you're setting up a CRM, testing, or just wanting to see how your code interacts with HubSpot, sandboxes will be the perfect place to be. If you have an enterprise-level portal, you'll have access to one sandbox, and additional are available for purchase. On top of these, other exciting updates include business units, permissioning and governance, flexible associations, custom surveys, custom behavioral events, the custom report builder, and forecasting. So many updates that are just going to allow us to do better and be better. We hope you enjoyed our wrap-up of Inbound 21. Thanks again to Lauren and Neil for joining us today and to Ali for extra insights.
Be sure to check out the blog post connected to this episode at spitfireinbound.com and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast.
We'd love for you to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast, and for you to leave us a review and share this episode.
In our previous episode, we said that we'd be starting our Women in Marketing series, but we really wanted to speak about Inbound while it's still fresh.
So episode 4, we'll be chatting to some of our own team members on what it means to be a woman in marketing, and more specifically, what being a woman at Spitfire means and how and why it's so important to our company culture.
Remember, all the links that were mentioned in the show about Inbound 21 are in the description below. Thank you again. See you soon.
Bye.